Precious child of God, you're welcome to yet another life-changing sermon from Reverend Sidney Elementson. Reverend Sidney is the head pastor of God is Our Light Church, City of His Presence. He is a man of God who operates in the healing, prophetic, and teaching ministries. Today, the man of God takes us through a series titled The Little Foxes in the Vineyard. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Amen. We want to deal with a topic tonight about the little foxes. Somebody say the little foxes. It's going to be interesting. Amen. And tonight we, concerning the little foxes, we want to talk about keeper of the vineyard. Keeper of the vineyard. Hallelujah. Amen. And somebody say keeper of the vineyard. Amen. Let's open our Bibles, the book of Song of Solomon. I'm sure some of you don't usually go there. Song of Solomon. Chapter 1, verse 6. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. I read. King James Version. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun had looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 6. Let's do Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15. Says that, yeah, read.
Songs of Solomon 2:15. It says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes.
Amen.
Amen.
Take up the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, the little foxes.
The little foxes.
The lesson we want to teach tonight has to do with keeper of the vineyard. Now, every person has a vineyard. One way or the other. You have a vineyard and I have a vineyard. Are you understanding me? And as believers, we have the responsibility to keep the vineyard. You have a vineyard, I have a vineyard. It's going to be a long teaching, so please stay with me. Hallelujah. You have a vineyard, I have a vineyard. But we have the responsibility to what? Be a keeper of what? The vineyard. Are you understanding me? And what vineyard are we talking about? Vineyard we are talking about is a vineyard of your soul. Someone say soul.
Soul.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if anytime I'm speaking about vineyard, I want you to look at your soul. Are you understanding me? So that means that we have a personal responsibility to take care of what? Our soul. Are you understanding me? Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. How many of you know, I want to believe that our souls are the most valuable possessions that we have. Our soul. The most valuable what? Possession that we have. So Matthew 16:26 says that. Please read for me.
Matthew 16:26.
Yeah.
For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?
Gains the whole world and loses
his own soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?
Let's look at Ecclesiastes 12:7. Ecclesiastes 12:7.
Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it.
So the soul is very delicate. Soul is very important. And that is why first we have the personal vineyard of our own, and that is what has to do with what, with our soul. Are you understanding me? And the care of our soul, to me and my experience in ministry, and for this long period, it's tedious and challenging. Can I have a witness?
Yes, sir.
It's tedious and what?
Challenge.
And challenging. So most of the times, you know, we find ourselves in that place where when it has to do with let's deal with our souls, let's work on our souls, it's really, really challenging and it's very tedious. But the truth of the matter is that if you have to deal with your soul, it involves planting, it involves pruning, it involves cultivating, it involves weeding around it. Am I communicating?
Yes,
and these are some of the things that we are going to look at. And the truth of the matter is that God will always give a farmer the grace to be able to what? To grow a particular plant. If the farmer is willing to allow God, give him that wisdom to be able to grow that plant, God will definitely do that. Hallelujah. So therefore, the care of the soul is something which is very important in our life. And most of the times, the soul has to go through a process of holiness and sanctification. Can you say holiness?
Holiness.
Sanctification.
Am
I communicating?
Yes, sir.
So the soul will have to go through a process. And this process of holiness and sanctification, is an ongoing process. It's not just there, you know, like that. It doesn't happen like bam, like that. No, it's an ongoing process. So it means that one will go through a process of holiness and what? Sanctification. That is why the Bible says that be ye perfect. So that means that it's a process. It's something that you have to what, continue what, working on. Are you with me? Let's look at 2 Peter 3:11. Please. 2 Peter 3:11.
Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So it's very important. That is why in the place of holiness and sanctification, it has to be what? A process. It says that since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and what? And godliness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when it comes to your soul, it's very delicate and it has to go through a process of what? Sanctification and what? And holiness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now the second vineyard that we have the responsibility, I've talked about what? Your soul, right? The second vineyard that you have the responsibility to take care of is the family. Somebody say family.
Family.
I've given you one. First vineyard, which is very delicate, has to do with what? Your soul. Number two has to do with what? Family. And that is why from beginning of time, Satan wanted to what? Destroy the family. And it has to do with what? Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden. Are you with me? So the family was very important, and the enemy wanted to what? Always come what? In between what? Family. And God being so good, having to take the Israelite even to the promised land, they had to go through certain things. But in them transiting from one generation to the other, they had to relay certain information or pass on certain information to the next generation. So if you read the Bible well, sometimes there are scribes that will write certain things. Sometimes it's word of mouth. If you read the Bible well, before Jacob dies, he says that, you know, bury me what at the promised land. And from generation to generation, it was carried along. So that means that God's word does not change. Am I communicating? God's word does not. So sometimes people say you are the plan B. You are never the plan B. His intent concerning your life has always been that intent. Sometimes the process and the ways which he would take you through, it might look like his plans has changed, but it has never changed. Am I communicating? So number two has to do with what? Family. Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about some few principles that was laid there for the Israelite to be able to carry this information concerning what God wants to do for them from family to family. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 1 to 5. A family is very, very important. And let's see what it says, Deuteronomy 6.
6:1 says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. 2.
He gives them some principles and values. That's verse
2. That you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged.
So this commandment or principles was carried one family to the other. God is telling the parent that you have to have deep love or reverence for God. And it doesn't just stay there like that. They pass it to the next generation. They pass it to the children as well. So when you are looking at your soul and you are looking at what? Family as well. Next verse.
3. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it.
He says that, hold on. He says that be careful to what?
Observe it.
There's a transfer of truth here from one generation to the other. He's saying that be very careful to what? To observe it. Are you understanding me? And they will pass this information to the next family, and this next family will hold it. And that is why sometimes you pray and you say the God of our fathers, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Because there is some sort of relational or relationship there. Are you understanding me? Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
You get it. Next verse.
4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children.
Hold on. So it says that you shall what?
Teach them what? Diligently.
I've said that number one has to do with your soul. Number two has to do with your family. Teach them what? Diligently. Remember, we are dealing with what? The little foxes. We are dealing with what? The vineyard. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, teach them what? Diligently. Intensely sharpen your sons. Sharpen your sons. Teach them. Let them know the statute of God. Other than that, when distraction comes and they are not aware of it, it becomes a problem. You have to what? Teach them. Hallelujah. Let's continue.
You shall teach them diligently to your children.
You shall. Now, this instruction is very aggressive. He says, you shall what? Teach them. And this is an aggressive instruction here.
And shall talk of them when you sit in your house.
When you sit in your house.
When you walk by the way,
yeah.
When you lie down,
uh-huh.
And when you rise up.
So it means that any time you find yourself, you need to teach them the statute of God. They're talking about family here. It's also a vineyard that one would have to take care of. You understand him? And God is saying that pass on this information to your children as well. Read verse 10 to 14 for me.
Deuteronomy 6:10 says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. 11. Houses full of all good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt.
So can you pause here? So God is trying to tell them that, listen, you need to know that there has to be an element of gratitude and humility in your heart. That everything that happened around you, I was involved in it. Are you understanding me? And that is why there are times where we need to, you know, come to a place and be grateful to God for what he has done for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 If you read Deuteronomy 6:20-25, we don't have time to go through it, but it's frequently saying that we need to remind ourselves about God's faithfulness and his grace. Somebody say God's grace.
God's grace.
We need to constantly remind ourselves about what God's grace and his faithfulness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have talked about the soul, talked about what? Family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The third vineyard that we find ourselves to take care of, after taking care of our soul and our family, the third vineyard has to do with the body of Christ. And I would say the church. The church. And if you have been converted and have experienced a new bed of repentance and, you know, you've done water baptism, you speak in tongues and all that as the initial sign of the Holy Ghost, among others as well. It's sometimes people say that the prerogative is upon the pastors and the leaders to be able to teach the church members or to be able to direct them or to be able to tell them that do this or do this or do that. But the point is that we are all members of one family. We don't disagree with that. That God has put in us as a place, pastor or shepherd of your soul. But you also have to remember that you have a part to play when it comes to what the growth of the church. Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
So to take care of the vineyard of the church, we find that there are four priorities in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 that sums up everything. Somebody say that what I responsibility when it comes to what taking care what of the church as a vineyard. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 verse 42. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. You could see that they were devoted in everything. It says what?
And they continued
steadfastly
in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship.
Yeah.
In the breaking of bread and in prayers.
In the breaking what of bread and in prayers. Can we all read it together? And they continue. It didn't say and heal. It says what? And they. Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
And they what?
Continued.
In steadfast. The apostles what?
Doctrine.
And fellowship. In the breaking of bread and what?
And in prayers.
It means that they were devoted in what? In fellowship. They loved each other. They were devoted in worship. They gave themselves what? To prayer. All these things working together served as an excellent foundation for the early church. And you know what happened? They accomplished incredible things. That is why unity is so powerful. Doing things together is so powerful. Not like me, you know. Are you understanding me? And I want to believe, God, that before we finish this lesson one concerning the vineyard, you'll be so much blessed. I mean, how many of us want to really be blessed? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So these were the priorities, what, of the church. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want us to look at when it comes to the indictment of the vineyard. Somebody say indictment. Indictment of the vineyard. And the indictment of the vineyard has to do with the sluggish nature of how one keeps what? The vineyard. Are you understanding me? Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
The sluggish nature of how one keeps the vineyard. Now look at what Solomon chapter 1 verse 6 says. The King James. It says that they made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Is it there?
Yes, sir.
Can we read together? It says, they made what me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Can we read that again? They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I what?
Kept.
And this is the utterance of a Shulamite. And one of the beautiful men that Solomon married. Hallelujah. And this verse proves to us that there are perils that exist in a Christian life. And not just that alone, but there is a warning on our journey. And this warning can come in a form of discouragement and doubt in our spiritual walk. And sometimes the higher we feel like we want to climb, things are pulling us down. But the vineyard keeper is voicing a very sorrowful confession here. And he says that they have made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard is in disarray. My own vineyard I cannot keep. Are you understanding me? How many times have we been on our knees and prayed and confessed to God, Father, forgive me, but we keep on going back to do the old stuff again. My own vineyard I can't keep. Hallelujah. My own vineyard, I cannot what? I cannot keep. The nourishment of my soul, I cannot. You see, it's like obu obi. Na spirits while wire strong. But you have something to do about your soul. Are you understanding me? So like I'm helping you to be spiritually strong, but myself, I have a problem with my soul to work on. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And we know that it's like, you know, people will speak words of faith and encouragement to people, but they themselves, they have problems. They themselves, there has to be work on them. Are you understanding me? So it's like a pastor, I'm preaching to you all the time, but I have to work on myself as well. Am I communicating? But my own vineyard have I not kept. I wish you can write that down. But my own vineyard, what have I not kept? Hallelujah. Amen. Truth is declared, but you know, somewhat, if there is no passion to it, if there is no, you know, deep rootness to it, it becomes a problem. Are you understanding me? You can't just speak it like that. There has to be depth to it. You need to acknowledge, you know, whatever you are saying, and not just acknowledge it just like that. But the most important thing here is how sluggish the vineyard was kept. And in, let's look at Proverbs 24, 30. Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 34. Please read for me.
Proverbs 24, 30 to 34. I read, I went by the field of the lazy man.
Yeah.
And by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns.
Huh?
Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man.
Hallelujah. The condition of the vineyard is like a picture of a man's soul. If you read the scripture well, the condition of what? Of the vineyard is what? It's a picture of what? A man's soul. So the ground, I did a bit of research about farming. I'm not into farming. I need to be careful. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember the last time I tried to plant something. I'm not sure where it got to. You know, but I remember those days we used the backyard, try to plant something and see that maybe it will grow and all that. And one of the things that was a bit helpful was planting of, in trying to grow beans. It's like it was a bit easier, after planting for a while. It will come out. But I had to do a bit of research because this has to do with farming of what our soul. Are you understanding me? And the ground level or the root is always very important. Somebody say the root. Every piece of the ground is very important. Whether tongues, it says that tongues, it says what? Nettles, right? It says tongues, it says nettles. These are things that will sort of harsh on the soul and will put pressure on the soul, and the soul cannot what? Cannot grow as it wants to grow, or cannot be strong as it has to be strong. So in this particular script that we read, or scripture we read, it's a picture of what? A man's soul. And your own soul, your family, the church will produce some kind of crop one way or the other. Are you understanding me? And it's very important that we have to be willing to invest in the spiritual opportunities that is afforded to us. And some of the spiritual opportunities are, like this, we are in church, we are hearing the word of God. These are all what? Spiritual opportunities. Proverbs gives us this picture of a wall that has been broken down. Let's read again. Proverbs 24, 30 to 34. This is like a wall that has been what? Has been broken down.
I went by the field of the lazy man.
Of the lazy man.
And by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding.
Uh-huh.
And there it was, all overgrown with thorns.
Yeah. Have you been to a farm place before? I mean, where you try to plant something, and now you just go there and you see that all of a sudden there are weeds here and all that. So I wanted to have a picture of that, okay?
Its surface was covered with nettles.
Uh-huh.
Its stone wall was broken down.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I considered it well.
Okay, hold on. So we see a keeper of the vineyard. Number one, he's lazy. Slothful. He's lazy. Are you understanding me? And he has no understanding. Are you understanding me? He does things as his leisure time. He doesn't value whatever that he's planting. Are you understanding me? Please stay with me. And in the end, he's robbed because he doesn't pay attention to whatever he has planted, which is growing. And the next time he sees is that he sees that there are a lot of weeds around there. He says, when I saw it, I considered it well.
I looked on it and received instruction.
I looked on it and what? Received what?
Instruction.
You see, when you are planting something, and then there are times where it might, you might get erosion and all those things, and you need to look at even the soil that what you are planting that particular seed there. Hallelujah. So if we are breaking this thing down, then we are looking at walls of doctrine, we are looking at prayer, we are looking at character. We are looking at prayer, we are looking at doctrine, and we are looking at what?
Character.
Are you understanding me? But you see, the word of God will always help us to sustain our souls. The word of God will help us to sustain the vineyard as the church. The word of God will help us sustain the vineyard as the family. Are you understanding me? But you see, before it will move from the family to the church, it will start from the individual. Is it not true? Your body is what? The temple of God. Who makes the family is you and another person. So you always start from what? From you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, I want us to look at how vineyards are kept. Let's break it down a bit. How vineyards are kept. How vineyards are kept. I wish I can get somebody just... How many farmers have been here? I mean, how many farmers? Okay. All right, that's great. How a vineyard is what? Eric, you've been a farm. Are you farm before? You tried the field, eh? Hallelujah. We have seen how a lazy man tries to attend to his vineyards and it looks like nothing happens. It's destroyed. And now we have to consider some things to look at when we are taking care of our own vineyards. Are you understanding me? And in this condition, I'm talking about your soul. I want to repeat again. In this condition, I'm talking about what? Your soul. If the care of your soul is attended to, our families and our churches will also be taken care of. Garbage in, garbage out. Hallelujah. Number one, how vineyards are kept, the condition of the soil is very important. Am I communicating? Is it true, sir? It's true, right? The condition of the soil is very important. So the keeper of a physical vineyard always knows the condition of the soil, whether it's working or what is not working. So if the soil is too light or too heavy, per my research, too moist or too dry, too acidic, right? Too acidic, right? Has some alkaline in it. If it's poor or it's rich, whatever... The nature of the soil will determine whatever you plant in it will grow. Are you understanding me? So the condition of the soil is very important. So naturally or physically, one who takes care of the vineyard has to do some diagnosis to make sure that the soil is actually ready or fertile for it to receive a seed. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So sometimes, you know, it may require some rocks to be dug out, some irrigation to be done, and all. I mean, those that have done big farming and all that, and the kind of fertilizer and all that. And also, you have to look at when erosion will happen. So, my little that I was studying in school, that there are times where for you to prevent erosion, you have to plant some trees or some, you know, something on that line there. Is it not true? You've not done it. At which school did you go? Hallelujah. You know, something that one class I really enjoyed at school was home economics, you know, because they would ask us to bring the apples and the mangoes, and, you know, and then after that, after they've taught us everything, we are looking at the dessert. Hallelujah. Amen. So, if the problem with erosion being created here, it means that you are looking at making sure that whatever you plant there, if you plant trees around it, if erosion happens, it's not going to affect it. Are you understanding me? So if the keeper discovers that his soil is too shallow, he may have to result in plowing deeper so that the topsoil can be mixed with deeper or new soil. And in the process of this deeper plowing, the keeper has the opportunity to mix some sort of organic material and fertilizer and other things to make sure that the soil is what is prosperous. So the condition of the soil is always important. Somebody say condition. Or wave your hand, say condition. So one of the more prominent parables, somebody say parables, that the Lord taught about is the parable of what? Sower. You understanding me? And here he's relating it to the soul. Now let's go deep. The sower had to contend with four
different types of soil. Now, it wasn't about the seed, though. It was about the soil. Am I communicating? It was never about the seed. It was what? About the soil. So the emphasis placed in this parable was not about the sower, or the quality of the seed, but it was about what? Soil. Somebody say condition. Let's read the Bible. Let's read scripture and see. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. So it's just about 6. Yeah. 1 to 9. Let's read. Mark chapter 4, verse 1
Mark
to 9.
Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9.
9, yeah.
9. And again, he began to teach by the sea.
Yes.
And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. 5. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. 8. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, you've heard many men of God preach this word and says that the word of God is being planted. Your heart is the soil to receive it. Is it not true? Are you understanding me? So I can say here that the character of the person who is receiving the word of God is very important here. The word, the character. Are you understanding me? So, you know, sometimes when the word of God is being preached like that, the ability to listen to it is very important. Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
But you see, there are so many ways or other ways to improve what? The condition of the soil. And here I'm talking about the condition of what? Of the soul. Are you understanding me? The condition of the person who is what? Receiving what? The word. Number one is to meditate on God's word every day. Now watch how this thing happens in a regular life that we have. Meditate what? Upon the word what? Every day. You see, imagine that from Monday to Saturday, all I listen is, let me use a good example. Maybe all I watch and listen is some dance show from Monday to Friday. No time did I have to meditate upon God's word. Imagine that I walked into a church on Sunday and I hear a man of God preaching for 40 minutes. The condition of my soul is not even ready to receive that word. Are you understanding me? So after 35 minutes, he's checking his time. Then Reverend, we beat the time. But you see, if for the whole week I have been what meditating and reading the word of God, when I am coming to church on Sunday, I'm even in high spirit. To come and hear more. Are you understanding me? To even receive top up. To get spiritual enlightenment. To what I'm coming to hear. What on Sunday, iron sharpened iron. I am in high spirit. It's like somebody who has gone to do a research on prayer. Or gone to study about prayer. and he's coming to church on Sunday, knows that his man of God is also going to talk about something about prayer, he's excited. He's happy because he knows that at that day, some mysteries will be unveiled to him. Am I communicating? There was a man called Richard Baxter. He said something. He said that read and meditate the Holy Scriptures much in private, and then you will be better able to understand what is preached in public. Unquote. Are you understanding me? Number two, pray throughout the week. I'm giving you things that can help activate that soil, activate that soul, help that soul. Number two, pray throughout the week. And prayer is very crucial in our lives because it will help us. And what prayer will do is that it will help us to hunger for the word of God. That is why sometimes we pray, we say, let your word illuminate the eyes of my... What am I doing? I'm praying. I'm communicating to God. Are you understanding? So if you don't pray, the hunger for the word of God will not even be there. You see, that is why we come to a place of hearing the word of God, and somebody can, you know, all things being equal here, can just be bored like that. Because for the entire week, you've been just been, there is nothing about the word in there in your life. Are you understanding me? So it's become sort of a routine to be in the house of God on Sunday. Someone say the word of God. Hallelujah. So if you would ask God to give you the ability to hear and pursue the word of God, he will. And the Lord will definitely do that. Are you understanding me? But suddenly what your pastor is preaching will begin to fall into place because I have prepared myself even within the week before I come on Sunday. Am I teaching? Yes. Number three, confess your sins. Confess what? Your sins. I taught you, if you are not praying, you are sinning. Hallelujah. Some when you talk about sinning, it's just more about immorality, fornication, and anger, and all those things. If you are not evangelizing, if you are not promoting what the word of God, you don't want to be aligned in the agenda of God. Are you understanding me? Sometimes we just, you know, concentrate or we consider a lot of things that do not actively help us to clean what our souls. Some of us, our souls are dirty. They are filthy. They are full of filth. Are you understanding me? But the word of God will help us to what? To clean what? So can you imagine the whole of the week? How about you spend the entire week is on movies, is on conversation that will not actively, you know, involve the encouragement of God to help you to live a clean life? How about your conversations of the whole week is not something that will actively encourage God to put light in your life? Comment on Facebook and all those things. Are you understanding me? Sometimes some people put some nudity, something, and you have a believer. All the time, the whole week, his comment will always be like that. Are you understanding me? And these are certain things that, you know, they provide characterization, you know, and it does not please God. It does not even help what your soul. Let's look at Romans chapter. You can read that later course of time. Romans 6, 7, and then 8. You will immediately discover that, you know, a lot of things, they cannot help what your spiritual life. They will obstruct your vision about God. And I told you sometimes, you know, there are certain things on algorithm, even on YouTube, that you watch one thing and then they will always reveal it to you all the time. Hallelujah. So if God is supposed to check you out, you will see the things that you've been watching all the time. Hallelujah. And there are times where you need to come to a place of confession. Number four. I think I have spoken about that. Reduce your media intake. Reduce your media intake. Reduce it. Hallelujah. We cannot stand for sermons for 30 or 45 minutes. But when it comes to media, we won't fight media. Hallelujah. When pastor at seats, 40, 45, hello. But when it comes to issues about television and all that, no. It's something that we have time for it. But when it comes to the word of God and the things about God, hey, Charlie, I'm sorry to your time. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. A man called Ken Ramey, he writes a book, Expository Listening. I want to quote him. He says, after TV watching and going to the movies and surfing the internet all week long, you come to church and have to sit and listen to a lengthy sermon that requires a great deal of concentration and exertion you aren't used to. Quote. You are not used to it. So now you come, the man of God is preaching angels on above. And the whole of the week you've been doing angels. A man called James Adams, he gave a final quote and he said, many today drift into church with their minds turned off, slouch in the pew, and expect the preacher to do the rest. It's true. So you examine yourself, your brother or your sister, and you realize that even in Sunday mornings, they come to church and they are not all in the mood. Can you imagine if within the week I have programmed myself, I'm listening to tapes, I'm soaking tapes, I'm listening to gospel music, and when I come and there is worship, I'm actively involving. And yeah, I feel I'm maybe retuning my mind. Hallelujah. It's like somebody that wants to recharge his spiritual cells and begin to start praying to charge. And now say, lift up your hand. Say, my father, my father. I feel no one what charge you. Hallelujah. Number five, be consistent with church attendance. Be consistent with what? These are things that will help your vineyard. It will help what? Your soul. Are you understanding me? Be consistent with what? Church what? Attendance. And it so happened that sometimes we have, you know, a haphazard way of attending church. Some people don't see midweek service as church, no. It's been engrafted in their palms. Sunday, it's only church service. Anything midweek, anything morning, anything, you know, it's not part of it. But sometimes if you look at it carefully, it becomes a sporadic pattern in our life. And you can study it and you realize that for a whole 6 months, you've never been to a midweek service before. It's only on Sundays. And I've taught here, I don't know if it's on podcast, about managing your time. That when I wake up in my mind in the morning and I program myself, I add God to my daily schedule and I say that I have to be in church on Wednesday. It's part of my schedule. It's like having an appointment with somebody. That I want to have an appointment with you at this particular time. I make sure that when I have that appointment, and it's at 6 p.m. Are you understanding me? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. You see, read for us. Whilst you read, let me say this. When you have children, and all the time you are going to church, you carry them along. You put it in their DNA. Are you understanding me? So you have some of them, they will grow up, they will be messing around, believing God for deliverance. But when it comes to church, they don't joke with it. Is it true? Yeah. Let's read.
Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful.
Yeah.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works.
Let us consider what one another to stir up what?
Love.
Love. The truth is that when we regularly attend church, God has the ability to pick up where we left it last. He has what? The ability to what? To pick it up. Are you understanding me?
Yes, sir.
I am a very strong advocate when it comes to midweek service. Midweek service. Sometimes you can just shoulder yourself and say, I see that my church attendance is growing. That I'm not programmed for Sunday alone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And sometimes you watch, these are the folks that, because they are not programmed like that on Sunday, Hallelujah. Amen. Number six, fight off distractions. Fight off distractions. We are talking about your soul. That soil, it needs what to be activated. Fight off distractions. And there are 1,001 distractions that one can find himself, even in a place of service, or when we have a worship service. Sometimes you can be watching people, you can look at people, and then you are daydreaming, you know? Sometimes you can be staring at something, and then it just distracts you. But one thing that we need to understand is that, I don't know, but this is what I've realized. If you are writing a common entrance exams, you know it's your final paper. Nothing distracts you. Why? Why? Nothing distracts you. You entirely focus on that. Because you know that your entire life is based on that. You understanding me? Everything is based on that. So you see that person is focused about it. He pays particular attention because of what? Failure. Because of failure. He doesn't want to fail. He's scared of what? Of failing. He's fearful of that, and because of that one, he pays what particular. You see, if we are carrying that spirit of fearfulness in the house of God, in worship service, we pay particular attention when the word of God is being preached, when worship is being done, we will wave off all forms of what? Of distraction. Am I communicating? But the truth of the matter is that there are times where people say, you know, I'm trying as much as possible, you know, to give up some form of laziness when it comes to studying the word of God, even in the place of me being distracted. But laziness is a form of distraction. Laziness can distract you what? From reading what? The word of God. Are you understanding me? And by the way, sometimes sermons, people see it as a form of, you know, some kind of, you know, entertainment and that kind of thing. You know, people can, you know, be in church service, enjoy worship, enjoy. When it comes to sermons, I didn't sign up for this, though. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are living now and the tendency, you know, is to get angry with the preacher and to have some sort of sentiment about the preacher when he's speaking about that, it's not a place that will help nourish your soul. It's not a place that will activate that soul. And I believe that there is a room for one to confess. Hallelujah. I want to believe that God is moving us into a dispensation where we will understand the vineyard we have and be able to see the very things that will help the vineyard to be as the vineyard that we want. Amen. I want to touch on one last point, and then I'll close for tonight. The control of weeds in the vineyard. The control. How do I control the weeds in the vineyard? And what are these weeds in the vineyard? Hallelujah. The truth is that the keeper of the vineyard will one way or the other be watchful about the weeds that will come in the vineyard, as our lady pastor read. The weeds that come, the nestles and the shrub trees, the things that will exploit what the soil. Because I believe that if you plant something and it start growing now, you are careful about the weeds. Are you understanding me? That's one thing that pruning is so beautiful. When you prune around something that now it stands alone nicely and it looks great. But when the weeds are around it, you don't really see how great that plant is. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And therefore, cultivation is the most effective way to accomplish this sort of root, this sort of wheat and all that you find around the plant. Cultivation. Somebody say cultivation. Because it helps takes away all these sort of worms and bacteria and all these things that will choke the plant or the seed from coming out. And Jesus gives a very, very good example about it. And I love it. It's the parable of the soils. And I want us to read that before we close. We are told that some of the seed fell on what? On grounds among what? Thorns. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read that. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. We are told that thorns are the cares of this world. Thorns are the cares of this world. Mark chapter 4, verse 7.
Mark chapter 4, verse 7.
Yeah.
And some seed fell among thorns.
Some seed fell what? Among what?
Thorns.
Somebody say thorns.
Thorns.
Some seed fell what?
Among thorns.
And these thorns are what? The cares what? The world. It's about the secular things instead of the sacred things. Are you understanding me? And some of these cares of life, they are things that are necessary. Somebody's necessary. You know they want cash. Hallelujah. You don't want nice clothes, food. These cares of they relate to the survival of man. They relate to our survival. It's very important. But these are the same things that I consider it as a gift of God to us. But these things that are gift of God to us can be the same thing that will be thorns that will not help what that seed to grow. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. So we have certain responsibilities when it comes to this gift that God gives to us. Food, clothing, and all those things. I want to say that they help us to function in life. And that is the truth of the matter. But the deception of the devil is that he wants us to turn this gift that God has given to us to become idols. Am I communicating? It become what? An idol. And that is why a cloth can become an idol. Cannot say, I cannot come to the house of God. Are you understanding me? A TV program can become an idol that you watch and then by the time you woke up, sorry. But you needed that TV to at least survive in life. It don't be so. A 54 inch or 50, whatever, 60 inch, you know. 75. And while I was on our tour, I was like, aha, I have arrived. Hallelujah. So these things, they become idols to us. When they are consuming the extent at which God or the things that God wants to do what in our life, they consume or they squeeze out. Let me put it this way. They squeeze God from our life. And sometimes you can tell that they are squeezing God out of life. You cannot, if you look at your life, you can't find put God anywhere, because the entire week is accommodated, booked, and planned. There is no particular place you can put God there. So you have Monday to Friday, if the church is having a program or something, or something that has to do with what helping your soul, is booked. And gradually you realize that for like a month or two or 3 months, you could see that the cares of this life has squeezed God from your life. Squeeze God. The chasing of money, the chasing of pleasure, the wanting of this is gradually what squeezing what God from your life. Am I communicating? So this is when the seed, or this is when the wheat begin to rage out of control. And anytime they rage out of control, I wish maybe God will next week will put a picture so you have a picture clear. When the weeds, they go around the plant like that, you see, you don't even sometimes Adriani see what about who Adriani, because a wufu sa and a wufu sa a wufu sa na na a nyoma ebim niade, and that is why pruning is very important. Are you understanding me? So the cares of this life soon become what we are desperate to attain, because sometimes we want to. We want this affluence in life, and you know, we want people to see what is happening in our life, and it captures some element of pride and ambition and self-gratification and all these things, and we feel like, you know, these things we need it. But once we are chasing after them, be mindful and realize that whether it is squeezing God from your life or not squeezing God. Shall we bow our head and pray?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was such a powerful message from the man of God, Reverend Sydney Alamensa. I believe you have been blessed. God bless you for staying tuned to today's sermon, and shalom.